Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, our engineer as well. And I think Charlie's on the phone getting our next guest lined up here in just one moment. So we'll get to that here briefly. And we'll talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci. By the way, John, I can't stand everything he's done, obviously, but isn't this a case of why you just should not have government over this period? Because you're putting someone in charge and holding them responsible for millions of people's health. Obviously, they're going to over-legislate.
Obviously. As we've said before, we've got the folks in charge of bubble wrap now in charge of the country.
Right.
Literally. Right?
Yes.
I don't have any other way to explain it other than that.
The wonderful thing about individual liberty is that I am not responsible for you, so you are free to do what you want. When you take a bureaucrat and say, Dr. Fauci, if too many people get sick, that means you're doing a bad job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You no, you're exactly right.
So, while not holding him accountable for business. Go ahead.
And what happens is, Charlie, go ahead and speak in my ear real quick so you can tell me what's going on. That's okay. That's wrong. So we'll take a break, Charlie. Get it lined up. That's not correct. I don't know why that would be the case. So let me text you the other one that I've got in front of me. I don't know how that would have been the case. Yeah, that's not correct. So sorry about that. Just doing a little bit of housekeeping here as we do all that back behind the scenes stuff that goes on. I just texted the other number, Charlie. There you go. Sometimes numbers get transposed.
I understand.
I guess. I don't know the way to say it.
But I think this is twofold, though. I think it's, on the one hand, I do think Fauci is not a great guy, okay? I think he's highly dishonest. I think he's very left-wing. I think he wanted Trump gone and helped make it happen and was glad to do it. All that's true. But on top of that, I think if you take any government person and say, you are responsible for the health of millions of people, but you're not responsible for all the consequences in the economy, what are they going to do?
In this case, nothing.
Because you literally tell them all the collateral damage that happens in the economy, we're holding you responsible for none of it.
Yeah, how has this affected them negatively?
It doesn't at all.
Not one iota, right?
Right.
Andy, I agree with you. You should not be able to make those decisions without having some sort of an accountability factor involved in it.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
You can't make somebody only accountable for the one, our health,
right,
and not for the other.
All right, our next guest here, sorry for the confusion, Todd is up next. Todd Erzin, co-author of Fauci, and maybe it is founder, Todd, of Fauci and Bargan, the most powerful and dangerous bureaucrat in American history. And Andy and I were just talking about that a moment ago.
I'll take whatever title you give me, as long as we keep selling the book and get the info out there.
All right, well, let's do it. And you are in good company here because I have called Dr. Fauci for the last 12 months the little dictator.
Well, you're exactly right. He's not uniquely evil, though, and that's one of the main points of this book. This is ultimately about him, and it is about COVID. But beyond that, as it's laid out in the introduction, this is about us. We the people, how did we come to live under such a dictator? What choices did we make along the way that allowed for this? Because that lay of the land was set up way before you and I had ever really heard of Fauci or COVID. Just within the last 5 years, I'm 48 years old. I don't know about you guys. Did you think you were going to be talking about the gender wars and who gets
No.
to use which bathroom?
No.
See, that's the thing. We've been, I call it the gated community effect. Most mostly our greatest concern these days, whether we're, especially on the conservative side, isn't really our principles. It's our comfort. And we go to our safe spaces when that is challenged. And quite frankly, it's challenged all the time. We've been suckers for a very long time, thinking we can compromise with the other side of the fence and we'll meet some happy middle. They have no intention of compromising at all. And that's why you are exactly right. We're dealing with tyrants. He's not the only one. They're all around us.
True. True. No, you're exactly right. He's not the only one. We are surrounded by them, and we have entered into a stage when, Todd, I'm 56. Andy, I don't remember, how old are you, same?
57.
57. So Andy's a year older, Todd. So both of us, you know, roughly same age as you. And no, I never thought I'd see the day where we're talking about the things we're talking about. I never thought I'd see the country shut down literally for, you know, a year plus, certain parts of the country anyways, when it comes to commerce and other things, all over something that when you run the numbers on it, frankly, Todd, I do it all the time. The numbers don't even show that we have a pandemic going on right now.
Oh, well, and boy, that's an onion to unpeel there. Listen, we're the most educated we've ever been as a people in the history of humanity. And by that, I mean the most people spending the most time in something called school, education. Yet we're the biggest suckers that have mm-hmm. ever existed,
right.
Certainly in the time of this. The simple fact of the matter is that if we could have chosen a pandemic, we would have chosen this one. It wasn't coming like a thief in the night randomly for anybody and everybody. Our kids were safe. The average healthy 40, 50, you and I, we were safe.
Yep.
This came after
right.
the elderly, the infirm, those with comorbidities. And listen, all of us should have been able to do whatever it took to keep them as safe as possible. But the rest of us needed to go on, not suspend our liberties, keep the economy going. In no way, shape, or form did we have to go down this route. There's this magical place called Sweden. You may have heard of it. I
yes.
know everybody thinks it's the lost city of Atlantis right now, but they had very minimal mitigations, and they've done better than most countries in Europe. And I am absolutely certain of one thing. I'm not certain we would have done better had we done things the way Sweden did, but we wouldn't have done any worse. And the data shows that
yes.
by now.
Yes.
Hey Todd, does it surprise you to see how subservient people have become so willingly? I believe it's what, about half who say that they will still wear a mask even when we don't have COVID. Does that kind of tell you everything that you've been talking about on how this was all set up in advance? America had been primed to submit itself to somebody like Fauci.
Well, it's funny. It depends on the day that I wake up and how I'm feeling. Because, listen, a year and a half ago, like I said, I regularly said on the Steve Dace Show on Blaze TV that once you believe that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man, you'll believe just about anything.
True.
So to that extent, I'm not surprised by this. But then living it out in practice, just to see the sheep
yes.
go on about their daily lives and what I have four daughters. They play soccer competitively, and to weekend after weekend, seeing adults on the sidelines outside in beautiful weather, all masking up because the soccer board of directors tell them they must. Why don't you tell them to go fly a kite? They really have no control out of your life. And if you all did this, it would be game over. But that's the thing. We sit there and we're terrified of rocking the boat. Our comfort is our bottom line.
Yep.
And that's why we the people right now, when this country is full of tyrants, that in a country that we don't recognize anymore, we will have to blame ourselves as much or more than we do the likes of Fauci. He absolutely is an enemy, but we let him do to us what he has done.
I agree. Yes, I agree. So along those lines, Todd, Andy, both of you guys, how outside of us, you know, you guys are on TV, radio as well. We're on radio, you know, giving this message out. I've been preaching this stuff now for the past year. Outside of that, though, Todd, what as conservatives do we do to fight back?
Well, it depends from state to state. You know, Colorado, I don't know. It's drifting in the direction that I'm not sure my answer is the same as for Iowa. Here, we've been as free as just about any place here in Iowa. Our job here is to make sure it stays that way.
Yeah.
Texas, the same thing. Texas can't just rely on slogans, don't
right.
mess with Texas.
Right.
You know, you got to make sure that these red states stay red in a far deeper way than just the next election. Really, that part
Agree.
Has gotten us nowhere. Why is the University of Texas in Austin, Texas, a liberal university? Why? It makes no sense.
Todd, is it just as simple as this? A large, large number of Americans just no longer love liberty.
They love safety
absolutely.
More.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they either won't fight for it because of the level of comfort that they desire, and they think that this thing called America is basically just on autopilot, and the fall of Rome can't possibly happen. Well, yes, it can. In fact, it's happening right now. But the other thing that's hard to figure out, and you guys probably came to a point in your life, being roughly a decade older than I am, but it took a while, even for me as a conservative, to realize how much a certain segment and a growing segment of this nation hated this country, its freedoms, its blessings, its liberties. They don't just have a difference of opinion on some issues. They fundamentally hate America. Their sense of personal shame and guilt on who they are, what color, what you want, white privilege. It's overwhelming to them. The last chapter of our book is about the cult of Fauci, and it speaks to this very fact. We're not dealing with things we can compromise with any longer. We're dealing with people that totally want to take us over. It's just a winner or just a loser. And until we recognize that, we have no chance on anything resembling sustainability or survival, because you have to know your enemy, and they hate us at a base level.
Yes, agree. I agree. And by the way, everything you said, Todd, I fully agree with. The only reason I continue to say this on my show, the only reason why we still have some of the quote unquote freedoms that we have, even with everything that's going on, is one amendment only. It's called the Second. If it wasn't for that, Todd, we would be completely underwater as a country.
Well, I always believed that fundamentally, but within the last couple of years, I believe that in practice. I didn't grow up around guns in my house, never owned one growing up, didn't hunt or anything like that. But now I'm a card-carrying member, as it were. Yeah, words continue to fail our side of the fence.
Yeah.
You are probably exhausted in going to bat for people who come out saying one thing and ultimately do another. So here in our state, you don't even need to get this legislative session, you don't even need to get a permit anymore. And there's a lot of, I talked to some gun owners who were actually frustrated by that. They're responsible gun owners. They thought that set a dangerous precedent. And I told them, as being relatively new to the club, guys, you need to understand something. The other side doesn't want to regulate your guns. They want to take
them away.
That's
exactly right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So stop. They don't plan on meeting you in the middle. If you think this is just sort of like a stock, what are the bump stocks? Or no. They're going to go much farther as fast as they can whenever they get the chance.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they are not out to find some middle ground, Todd. I've always said, first of all, it's unconstitutional, in my opinion, to have any gun control measure whatsoever. They always talk about common sense gun control, which, by the way, there's no such thing. We already have laws in this country that protect us, are supposedly supposed to, keep people from murdering others. It's already against the law to murder someone else, to steal something. I mean, go down the list, Todd, of all these things that when somebody actually goes out and commits murder with any kind of a weapon, whether that be a gun, a car, or whatever, we've already got laws to prevent that. The reality is it doesn't stop them from doing that anyway. So there's not a gun control measure one that's going to do any difference.
No, there isn't. And that speaks to the subtitle of this book about the dangerous bureaucrat in America. Again, but he's just a symbol of how many of others there are like him out there. Whether it doesn't matter what issue. And look at the school districts that have closed down, even though they were the kids were never going to be vectors of spread. This is whether it's medicine, whether it's the law, whether it's education. These bureaucrats are taking over our lives and making things up as they go along. They'll pay lip service to the Constitution if they see fit, and it gives them a temporary win. But they will burn that piece of paper to the ground as soon as it doesn't help them.
Todd Erzin been with us today, and he is co-author of Fauci and Bargain, the Most Powerful and Dangerous Bureaucrat in American History. Todd, where do folks get the book?
They can get it at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and the Steve Dace Show, where I am, is on Blaze TV from noon to 2 Eastern every day.
Perfect. Todd, thank you so much. I appreciate it, sir.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome. And again, folks, speaking of our Second Amendment rights, Franktown Firearms, I talked about them at the top of the last hour. And, yep, you can exercise that right by going to Franktown, and they'll handle everything you need. They've got a great inventory, not only of guns, but of ammo, of training, of accessories. You name it, they're there. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
In just 3 short months since the Harris-Biden administration took office, there is a lot of saber-rattling going on throughout the world. Russia is eyeing Ukraine. China is looking at Taiwan, and Iran is enriching uranium again. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, my fellow Liberty Toastmasters will weigh in on peace through strength, how national defense and foreign policy helps preserve a free society. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group shares his weekly update on mortgage interest rates. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And John, I think our biggest mistake, and I've mentioned this before, was allowing every death where COVID is present to be called a COVID death. Look, if COVID is not the primary cause, we should not have allowed it to be called a COVID death, because that huge rising number turned Fauci into a god.
I agree. You're spot on. Correct, 100%.
What a terrible mistake.
And that was That was a Trump administration mistake, which, again, he was listening to, you know, the likes of the Faucis and so on around him. And I don't know what bad advice or bad advisor he had around him telling him that was a good idea, but it wasn't.
And this is not hindsight being 2020. You and I were critical of that back when they started
12 months ago.
We were like, why are you calling all of these COVID deaths? And worst of all, why are you giving 20% more funding to hospitals when they call a death a COVID death? This is ridiculous.
And again, that one I'm going to throw back on the Trump administration.
I am too.
They screwed up.
The answer was very simple. All you had to do was say, look, across the board, we are going to provide more funding to help equip hospitals so that they can be ready for this when it hits. But we're not going to do anything that would inflate that number. And by the way, that number paved the way for Joe Biden.
It did. Yeah, you're exactly right.
That number elected Joe Biden.
If it hadn't been for that and the cheating and a lot of the other things that happened in 2020, you'd have a different presidency today. But
absolutely.
The fact of the matter is, it is what it is.
Absolutely. And the cheating happened. There's no question. And I do believe with no cheating that Donald Trump would still be president. But that rising number put it within range. Otherwise, they could have cheated all they want. He would have clobbered them anyway.
There's an interesting article on Vox.com, V-O-X, by the way, not Fox, but Vox.
Vox.
Where they interviewed James Carville, which anybody out there that knows anything about the Democrat Party knows that James Carville is kind of their spokesperson, if you would, at times, right?
Yeah, you know, he's the kind of guy who not only goes out front and speaks, but he also knows all the underworkings.
All the ins and outs.
Yes.
Correct? But what he's saying right now is, quote unquote, wokeness is a problem, and we all know it. He says Democrats are in power for now, but they only won narrowly over Donald Trump, a world historical buffoon, his words, not mine, and they lost congressional seats and failed to pick up state legislatures. The reason is simple. They've got a messaging problem. He's right about that, by the way. They do. And if they don't get things straightened out and cleared up here in the very, very, very near future, they're done in 2022.
Can I give you the bottom line?
Yes.
John, you cannot pick favorites in racism. You cannot say this kind of racism is more acceptable than that kind of racism. When you do that, too many people, even young people, look at you and say, that's ridiculous. And by the way, with young people, it's even more pronounced because they're already integrated. Young people are already, you know, completely mixed. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, they don't care what your race is. And so when you come out and say, we're going to treat one race better than another again and again, yeah, you'll have a bunch of them, they're liberal, so they'll buy into it. But there's a lot of them who say, this is ridiculous. That's what wokeness is. Yep. Wokeness is picking favorites in racism. I think that's paving the way for big 2022 gains for us.
Well, all the Democrats have done is literally take their picking of winners and losers, which they do all the time in business. They
right.
do it all the time in politics. They do it all the time when it comes to certain, you know, laws and funding and things like that. All they've done is now take that to the race card, to the race game.
Yeah, and I think it's hurting them.
I agree.
He's right. Had they not gone all woke, and by the way, had they not been rioting in the streets, with Donald Trump making the mistake of the COVID numbers, they would have routed us in November.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
He's right. They barely, in fact, I wish he would have said, if we hadn't cheated, we wouldn't have won.
He didn't go that far to say.
I think he knows internally that's the case.
He does.
But, and I've said this before, and I know there's a lot of you out there that disagree with me, but the reality is, had we had a better game, had we handled COVID better, had we handled some of the debates better, there's lots of different things I can go back and now, and I have, and a lot of you are mad at me because I do, so you call me a rhino. I'm not. I'm just telling you what went wrong and what we need to change and do differently moving forward. Otherwise, we're going to lose again. The reality is we handled lots of things wrong, and had we done those things correctly, you would have won so badly, there's no way they could have cheated and won. That's my point.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where we screwed up.
Maybe we should talk about that more at the end of the hour.
Okay, we can do that. We'll do that. And Patrick Neville's going to join us here in just 1 minute. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers. Always have a great time with Kurt on Mondays in our Monday Mortgage Minute when he joins us each month. I always learn so much. You can as well. You can learn directly from Kurt, find out exactly where you're at. How does your mortgage work? Is it the best mortgage for you? There's lots of options today. Don't let somebody say, well, this is your best. No, find out, get some other answers, and find out exactly if, in fact, it is. 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
A good shop is next, folks. And if you've been involved in an accident, yeah, we got some snow even coming tonight. We had snow last week. You know, it's Colorado. Things happen, and accidents happen. A lot of you probably don't realize this, but the majority of accidents happen in the parking lot, which means typically they're not going to be enough damage where, you know, you've got a totaled situation, but things need fixed. And that's what a good shop can do. They've got a mobile estimating app, I should say, that's on their website. You can download it and then check things out for yourself and see exactly how much a particular accident is going to cost and then determine what to do from there. Three locations to serve you. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Why does the census reveal that New York, California, and Illinois lost seats? Well, because the people are fleeing New York, California, and Illinois. They're getting crushed by taxes and politicians who seem to hate their own constituents.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Representative Patrick Neville joining us now. Patrick, how are you today?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
We are doing very well. So before we get, you know, going here, I had somebody actually message me and said they wanted to ask you specifically about House Bill 21-1229.
That's a bill I think that's up in committee this week. Essentially, it adds a bunch of regulations to homeowners associations. I can't say all the specifics off the top of my head, but I do know I took a look at it briefly. I'll be a no vote on it. I mean, some of the regulations, look, I think that HOAs probably do need some reform, but this reform goes in the opposite direction. It adds a bunch of, like, education requirements that people who sit on the boards of HOAs have to comply with. And, like, I think the problem with HOAs right now is, typically, lots of them are kind of, they're filled with the people that have time on their hands, and they go out and basically boss people around over ridiculous compliance issues. And this is just going to basically attract more of those people, because in order to do this, you're going to have to go through all these education requirements to sit on a board. So you're not going to get your average citizen that sits on an HOA and just wants to do the right thing. You're going to actually attract more of the people that are just going to sit on there and try to, you know, ding people for, you know, the slightest little paint being wrong or something like that. Instead of, I would like to see HOAs move more towards like almost a reactive instead of proactive, where, gosh, if you really have something that bothers you in your house and you want to turn into your neighbor, that's fine, but HOA is actually out there patrolling and looking for things themselves when, you know, if it doesn't really bother any of your neighbors, what's the issue going on?
Hey, Patrick, is this bill actually labeled How to Become a Little Dictator?
It ought to be. Because I'll be honest, I'm being very, I know Andy was joking, I'm not. Patrick, I can tell you right now from looking at this law that I'm, or this bill that I'm reading right now, some HOA director or property management company or somebody along those lines wrote this thing.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens when we see HOA bills. It's typically some property management companies that actually want it, usually not the actual, or the HOA management, community collection, whatever you want to call them, association themselves are writing it, because they want to see, well, if you make all these people go through this mandatory education program, guess who provides that?
That's right.
Well, it's the people that actually do the management, and they want to boost up their sales and their revenue. And so if you mandate all that, then you force the individual people and the owners that sit on the board to go through it all. Yeah, that's great for them, but it's not so great for the actual community itself.
Patrick, would you also see possibly those providing this training bringing in, I mean this, political bias as well? Okay? I see a lot of political bias with HOA leadership.
Oh, no doubt. With HOA leadership and then even the association themselves, I know in the past, and maybe it was coincidence, maybe it wasn't, when I voted against some of their bills or worked hard against them, then all of a sudden, geez, even my own HOA, I was getting some notices that none of my neighbors seemed to care about, but things like, you know, my grass was brown in, you know, the end of September, you know, it's like, well, guess what? Our community already turned off the water and I can't water it anymore. So what do I do? But you definitely see a lot of that. And then you're going to see the folks on there. Oh, this guy has a Trump flag hanging up. So what else can we ding him on? And again, that's why I say,
yeah, what's interesting
like
in this,
go more so it's reactive. So truly, if your neighbors don't have any issues, look, like my neighbors had some, you know, total weed problems and such and so forth, but they were going through some hard times. I really didn't care. I was in the middle of selling my house. I'm not going to turn them in for a violation. The problem is when you actually have these people out there patrolling, then all of a sudden they can, oh, I don't like this, so what else can I find them to ding them on?
What's interesting in this is they actually are saying specifically that, you know, hanging a flag or a sign or something along those lines cannot now in the future be negated by an HOA. But it's interesting that they say even political signs, because basically, Patrick, what they're saying is they want the right to put out as many political signs anywhere they want to. Again, whoever wrote this is very political in nature, and I believe most likely either a bunch of people that are already in an HOA or a property management company or both wrote this.
Yeah, and you're probably right. And we already have laws in place that allow you to place a certain amount of square footage of signs in your yard 30 days prior to an election. In Colorado, that includes once ballots actually get mailed out. And so you can't have, like, your entire yard filled up. But, you know, there's plenty of room to have, like, you know, I want to say, I don't know the exact number, but I'd say, like, probably, like, six signs up of whoever political candidate you want to have up, you could probably put up. And you're more within the law to do that prior to an election. And then after the election's over, then you've got to go back to your HOA rules. But so we already have laws in place protecting, you know, most political speech and things of that nature. And so this is just going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, to me, and one of our listeners even stated, this looks like there's just a lot more regulatory things now that will get thrown on most HOAs. By the way, therefore, those of you that pay into those, most likely your dues will increase to accommodate all those items.
That's right. And I mean, most of these positions are so hard to fill anyway, because most of us are actually working jobs and working our lives. And gosh, who wants to go sit on an HOA board? Now we're going to require them to go through all the different training that they're required to go through. Again, it's not the average citizen. You know, we always talk about citizen legislators. Well, we've already kind of gone away from that. Talk about now we're not going to even have any citizen HOA board members. They're all going to be folks that want to do this for a living, and that's not what we really want.
They're even going to now define what an executive board is, conflicts of interest, and competitive bids, quote-unquote, when required. Well, again, that is, in my opinion, those are individual items that each HOA should decide what they want to do accordingly, and that should not be a blanket statement across all of them.
That's right. And, you know, luckily, I don't know how this bill's going to go in committee. I haven't, like, really looked at the votes, but I know my inbox is getting filled up with all negatives, please vote no. And so that's a good sign. So it seems like there's actually got a lot of attention around it, and there's some coalitions building opposing the bill.
Good.
So hopefully we can actually defeat it.
Patrick, what would their side say? I mean, would they at least claim that they are trying to stop some sort of malfeasance?
Well, I think that's where in there you've got some, like, transparency of, like, rule changes and stuff in there. And some of that stuff is actually not totally bad. I mean, so you look in the bill and it's like you first read it and you're like, oh, I kind of, yeah, I read the title and go, I kind of want HOA reform. And, you know, that's a good thing. You look at some of the transparency and then they start adding, oh, this and that to the, you know, the community associations and the actual people who get paid to do this, not your citizen people, that residents just sitting on the board themselves. So they threw some of that in there to try to kind of entice people, but I think most people are seeing right through it.
Yeah. No, and again, everybody listening, the last thing we need is more HOA regulations. So to your point, Patrick, you know, well done. All right, what's next?
Well, the big thing we've got this week is actually just this morning, the public option bill passed out of committee. They did a strike blow amendment, and basically, kind of like I predicted, made it not quite as bad. So basically, I think the easiest way to sum this up is instead of having a total universal government health care system in 3 years, under this new amendment, we might have it in five. So they did some things like they got rid of having a fully on separate department of, you know, that would handle this. And then they instead of used to, like, have the lowest price that the commissioner could set would have been equal to the Medicaid reimbursement rates. I think now it's somewhere around like 155% of Medicaid reimbursement rates, but that's still, depending on the practice of the doctor that does, but, you know, a lot of times even at 155%, they're actually losing money treating a patient. Some of the mandatory, they've got to lower prices by certain amounts. They halved all that. It's still the Pandora's box. Once you open up government control and you actually give the ability of the insurance commissioner to set these prices according to Medicaid rates, you are going to see a lot of doctors fleeing. You might not see them fleeing in the first, you know, 3 months now into this amendment, but you probably will in 6 months or so.
Okay.
Well, Patrick, isn't any kind of a public subsidized option inevitably going to drive everybody out of the marketplace? I mean, this is like education. Yeah, you have private education if you pay twice. So your taxes go into the public schools, and then you got to pay a second time if you want to homeschool or whatever with your kids, you know, put them in a private school. Isn't that a public option going to inevitably do the same thing in medicine?
Well, I think the public option is actually even worse in that scenario because they're not subsidizing any of it through existing revenue. What they're doing is they're saying, we're just going to create a separate government insurance, and then that government insurance can now compete on a different level because they can actually price fix instead of freely negotiating with the doctors on an actual rate like normal insurance companies do. And so since they can compete at a better level, then, you know, initially they might have the lowest prices, but then eventually they're going to drive all other actors out of the market and have a total monopoly and total control over your health care. And guess what? You're going to be paying the rate. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, the subsidy is not any different, or it's not direct, but you're already paying in taxes as though we're going to, you know, help you cover your costs for your current insurance. The subsidy is they're going to just take control of your actual insurance and your health care.
Mm-hmm. Nope, agree. All right, so where does it go from here? Where are we at?
Well, so it just passed out of committee this morning, so we're preparing to see that on the floor. They were kind of tricky in the way that they did this. So they brought forward the strike below was a multiple-page amendment, which they dropped on desks last night. And according to House rules, you can't drop any sort of amendments unless you give 24 or multiple-page amendments unless you give 24-hour rules prior or 24 hours notice prior. And so any amendments that we wanted to do that were more than 2 pages in length, we couldn't do because they're considered a settled question once they pass this amendment. So I think once that gets to the House floor, we're going to probably Christmas tree that thing up with lots of amendments and try to get lots of roll call votes. And I think this is going to take it's probably the majority of our effort is trying to defeat this thing in a major way, because I think it's just really going to destroy our state.
Agree. Where do we come out budget-wise, speaking of all that?
Well, the budget passed. The largest budget in Colorado's history passed. We had almost every Republican vote against the budget except for our minority leader. Don't know why, but that was kind of disturbing to see. So in the history of Colorado, there's kind of been this unwritten rule that joint budget committee members vote for the budget. And Representative Ransom is the first one that I'm aware of who is a member of the JBC. In last year and this year, she even voted no on the budget. So even she voted no on the budget, but our minority leader, Hugh McKean, was the only sole Republican who voted for the budget. So it's a terrible budget. It's got all sorts of things, funding for illegal immigrants. I mean, just tons of bad things. And so it was kind of disappointing to see. We can't even have a unified message against what's the largest budget in Colorado history with no actual tax relief to our citizens, more pork spending and so-called stimulus spending to their pet projects that will just increase our, you know, the inflation problems that we're having in the country and in the state. And, you know, unfortunately, yeah, we have Republicans who support that.
I don't get it. I mean, and we've talked about this with you before in the past, even just the past several weeks. The things we really need to spend money on as a state, we're not, and the things we shouldn't be spending money on, we are.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it gets really frustrating at the state level because it seems like state legislators will get in this mindset, well, it's federal money, so it's different. Well, guess what? Federal money is still taxpayer
money. That's right. It's all the same.
And you know what? I get even more frustrated when we start spending federal money because at that point, it's not even my money. It's my kids' money or my grandkids' money.
That's right.
The way the federal government's going. And so if we can't actually hold a certain standard at the state level as legislators, how can we actually hold our federal congressmen and congresswomen accountable? if we're not doing the right thing.
Where, and I know this maybe might catch you off guard, and if so, just say so, but where does para and all of that fit into this, where we know they've been in such bad shape over the past several years? Is that being addressed at all?
So para was addressed. I mean, we got a pretty good bill passed a couple of years ago that did get them. They basically had a lot of different things. I don't remember the exact specifics, but the retirement age raised slightly, and instead of like 3 years of top pay, 5 years of pay. And what happened, a lot of those triggers went into effect last year with the last year's budget. Now, one of the triggers, one of the things that I didn't like about that bill was we chose to subsidize from the state para for, like, I think $200 million is what we're supposed to kick in, and we actually weren't able to do that last year, so we changed that law. Now, they did pass a law this year where we took, I think, $300 or $400 million of general fund money and put it towards para. I voted against that because I think that's the worst thing. That's directly taxpayers subsidizing his retirement that's supposed to be self-sustaining and self-sufficient.
Yep, I agree.
And so I don't like that one bit. I think they need to make all the changes they need to in their retirement plan to be self-sufficient, and we shouldn't be doing it on the backs of taxpayers. So they all this extra windfall of money we have, they definitely used it to pay off their union friends and make sure that they were okay, and then they didn't actually have to change their retirement system to basically adopt norms in today's society around normal retirement plans.
The other thing that I've been reading quite a bit of, Patrick, which I think is interesting, is there seems to be some internal fighting going on with the Democrats themselves here in Colorado when it comes to oil, gas, regulation, things along those lines. We've got individuals out there that want to create basically a law, but yet there's this committee, if you would, that Polis organized when he became governor, and he wants that to continue on and do what it's already got the wheel set in motion for, yet these other politicians basically want to come along and institute law versus letting this committee do what it does because they don't think the committee puts enough teeth into things. What are you hearing on all of that?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So there was a bill that Emily Sirota had that actually said that we would have had to divest from any sort of energy products, so make para not be able to invest in any sort of energy financial statements or anything of that nature that had to do with energy, which would have put para even further behind, right? Because some of these, especially when you look at international stuff, I mean, there's some great energy development going off the offshore of Israel and stuff that they probably should be investing. And so she had a bill that was they actually killed that in committee. We got Democrats join Republicans in killing that in committee. But it just goes to show you that this is how far left Colorado has gone, where even Jared Polis is sometimes considered not far left enough on energy issues.
Right.
I mean, if you would have went back like 4 years ago, he was probably the most liberal elected official on energy policy, and they're still saying it's not enough for them. I mean, I guess for them, they just want us to go back into living in caves and doing nothing with our lives, because I mean that's really where they want to put us, is just completely back into the dark ages.
Well, you know my opinion on this. I think it even goes worse than that. To a true blue, greeny, lefty, humankind is a scourge on this earth. We'd be better off not even being here whatsoever. If they had their way about it, Patrick, you, I, Andy, Charlie, none of our listeners, none of us would exist today. You know, the planet itself would then be in a much better place. And that's how a lot of these hardcore lefties look at things. I don't know if Jared Polis is in that exact camp or if he's actually got enough of a canoggin to know, wait a minute, I can't go that far left and still keep, stay in power, if you would. I don't know where he stands with all of that, but the hardcore lefties that are basically battling him, let's face it, they don't care if you and I exist at all.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and we've got some that are actually holding elected office right now.
Yep.
It's pretty scary down there.
It really is. All right, I'll leave a last word with you. What else you got?
Well, let me leave you guys with one good one. Mark Baisley had a bill that essentially streamlines the process for regulatory notifications. So you know this probably better than anyone, John. But right now in Colorado, if you have a good idea and you want to start a business, you may start that business and look up all the regulations within DORA, which DORA is, most people probably don't even know what that is, but it's the Department of Regulatory Agency.
Right.
They've got a bunch of regulations. You think you're complying with all those regulations just fine. But then you find out, well, the healthcare policy and financing regulatory department has a bunch of others that you have to comply with. and so does Colorado Department of Labor Enforcement. And so, right, what Bezos' bill basically did is says all these agencies have to get together and make a central portal through the Colorado Secretary of State so that businesses can at least easily search what regulations they need to be complying with.
Nice.
So it was a good bill.
Yeah.
It actually passed out unanimously out of committee, so I think we will get that one passed.
You know what? That's fabulous. That's actually a plus for the business community. Everything you just said is correct. It gives those individuals that want to start a business or even have one currently and want to make sure they're complying, Patrick, instead of having to go to all the different places you just mentioned, they go one place, it's all there. Fabulous. Yeah, I'm in. That'd be great.
Yep. So good, Bill.
Yep, that's awesome. All right, I'll leave you with that. Thanks for joining us. As always, I do appreciate all your hard work, Patrick.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, man, take care. All good stuff, by the way, and I hope everybody's questions were answered today. If there's something you want us to ask Patrick specifically, please just text us, 307-200-8222. We'll get that into the mix, and we'll ask him those questions when he's on with us each and every week. We'll be right back, though. Up next, it's Geno's Auto Service, and at Geno's, they'll take care of your vehicle from bumper to bumper, top to bottom. No matter what it is, they'll take care of you. They do all of your preventative maintenance, including repair works. Whatever you need, they're there, and it's really easy. In fact, there's some great deals going on right now with them being part of NAPA. Just call and find out what those are. It's Geno's Auto Service, Geno's with a J, or 303-794-6700.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa gift card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250. Or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. And Geno's continues to service Leary's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when you're ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment, and be sure to check out all their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in today or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement: how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new, tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, we are getting in that time of the year where, hey, you're getting the barbecue out. If you've never put it away, good for you. But some of you will drag it out again for the summer months and do some outdoor cooking. If that's you and you want to be on top of things and actually have meat that you serve that's better than anybody else around you, anybody else on the block, I mean that sincerely, go to Barber's Foods. And you can stock up and be ready for summer and do it all online. They'll deliver right to your door, barbersfoods.com. That's with two S's, barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. You've got a couple of minutes. I can't play this clip from Tucker Carlson. If we had more time, I would. But essentially, Tucker is encouraging his viewers to, if you're a anti-masker like we are, and you see someone outdoors wearing a mask, you should actually go up to them and ask them why and essentially harass them into not wearing one outside.
Well, I already do a lot of mugging.
There you go.
I mean, could I combine the two things, or do I got to do them separately?
There you go.
You know, you shouldn't be wearing that mask. It's ridiculous to wear your mask. You're making your kid breathe their own exhaust, and give me your purse.
That's basically what he's telling you to do, minus the purse.
Well, I want this to be profitable.
Well, it would be then.
Okay.
Anyways, I
that seems a little over the top. I'm not gonna get in anybody's face over.
I'm not either. I think you're an utter moron for doing so. But hey, you know, it's your choice. Do whatever you want to.
Do you think, are we gonna have any time next hour? Maybe we can play the clip. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, we should have some time where I can. It's about 2.5 minutes. We didn't have time right now to do it, but we should be able to get to that and do so. I'm not going to tell anybody to go out there and do anything of the sort. If you're dumb enough to wear a mask outdoors, more power to you.
Yeah, I'm I'm very libertarian in my views. I do not believe that you tell people that they have to wear a mask, that they should not wear a mask, that they have to get a vaccine, shouldn't get a vaccine, or that they have to watch the Oscars. I would not impose any of that.
Well, speaking of weird things, by the way, this just triggered something in my mind a moment ago. Maybe Charlie knows more about this. I was at dinner Friday night,
yes. And
it was prom night, so there was all sorts of kids, you know, running around in and out. And I noticed that the attire of most of the young boys now is high water pants. When I was a kid, that was the last thing you wanted to wear. What, is that a new style or something, Charlie, I'm missing out on? Oh, go back to the old days. Pull those pant legs up. By the way, they look stupid for all of you that are doing
that. That's Urkel.
I'm just going to say that's just stupid. When I was a kid, you didn't want to show your ankles because you were a dork if you did. By the way, you're dorks that are wearing your pants that way now. All right, we'll be right back. Got another full hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.